After weeks of bad publicity, the Pentagon finally acknowledged that a nuclear weapon was missing. The news brought to mind the plot of the latest James Bond film, Thunderball, and its underwater search for stolen hydrogen bombs. The governments of Spain and the United States denied that the plutonium released by the two weapons posed any threat to the public. There is not the slightest risk in eating meat, fish, vegetables from the impact zone, or of drinking milk from there, Spain's Nuclear Energy Board declared. The truth was somewhat more complex. Little research had been done on plutonium dispersal or the proper methods of decontamination, and the alpha particles emitted by plutonium were hard to detect outside of a laboratory. They traveled about an inch and could be blocked by a blade of grass or even a thin film of dew, making it almost impossible, with the available equipment, to determine exactly how much land was contaminated around Palomares. The Air Force had been caught unprepared for a weapon accident that spread plutonium. Portable alpha detectors had to be rushed to Spain from bases in other NATO countries, the United States, and North Africa. And the detectors often didn't work. Nevertheless, traces of plutonium were detected in the mile-long strip of land between the two spots where bombs had landed. The contamination extended through the village of Palomares into nearby tomato fields. Residents weren't evacuated from these areas, and hazard control lines weren't established, a report by the Defense Nuclear Agency, DNA, later explained, because of the politics of the situation. The United States promised to decontaminate Palomares, but guidelines for removing plutonium after a weapon accident didn't exist, nor did criteria for determining safe levels of plutonium in the environment. Almost 4,000 truckloads of contaminated beans, cabbages, and tomatoes were harvested with machetes and burned. About 30,000 cubic feet of contaminated soil were scraped from the ground, packed into steel drums, sent to an AEC facility in Aiken, South Carolina, and buried. The soldiers who cleared the fields and filled the drums were given surgical masks. According to the DNA report, the masks offered no protection against radiation hazards and served mainly as a placebo, a psychological barrier to plutonium inhalation. To reassure the public and encourage tourists to visit southern Spain, the American ambassador brought his family to the beach near Palomares, put on a bathing suit, invited the press to join him, and took a well-publicized swim in the ocean, not far from where the hydrogen bomb had landed. Randall C. Maydew, head of the aerodynamics department at Sandia, was recruited to help look for the missing bomb. His group had designed the parachutes and casing of the Mark 28. Before Maydew left for Spain, his friend Bob Purifoy gave him a tool to aid with the search, a forked stick, like the divining rods used by dowsers to find water. Maydew and his team tried to ascertain where in the sky the two planes had collided. They performed reverse trajectory calculations based on where the three bombs and the B-52's engines had hit the ground, and decided that the crash had happened somewhere within a circular, mile-wide patch of the sky, 2 miles from the coast, at an altitude of 15,000 feet. Given that location, the prevailing winds at the time of the accident, the discovery of the missing bomb's tailplate on the beach, and an assumption that its parachutes had opened, Maydew's team pointed to an 8-square-mile area in the Atlantic where it had most likely landed. A few days later, their conclusions were supported by a Spanish fisherman who claimed to have seen a stout man attached to a large parachute fall into the water there. Ships, planes, helicopters, underwater television platforms, more than 100 deep-sea divers, and 4 manned submersibles, Deep Jeep, Cub Marine, Illuminat, and Alvin, searched the ocean for weeks as Soviet vessels lingered nearby. "It isn't like looking for a needle in a haystack," Rear Admiral William S. Guest, the commander of the operation, said. "It's like looking for the eye of a needle in a field full of haystacks in the dark." On March 15th, the crew of the Alvin spotted the bomb, wrapped in a parachute at a depth of roughly half a mile. 9 days later, while it was being pulled from the sea, the line snapped, and the bomb disappeared again. The search resumed, another week passed, and Alvin found the bomb a second time. Aside from a small dent on the nose, it looked fine. The second attempt to recover it went smoothly. Having endured 2.5 months of bad press, the Pentagon invited reporters aboard Admiral Guest's ship to show off the weapon, which sailed past them on the deck of another ship, proudly displayed like a prize-winning fish that had just been caught. Although the United States had deployed thousands of hydrogen bombs during the previous decade, this was the first time the American people were allowed to see one. After the Palomares accident, the government of Spain prohibited American planes from carrying nuclear weapons in its airspace. The SAC base in Torrejón was handed over to NATO, and members of President Lyndon Johnson's administration debated whether to end the airborne alert. It now seemed risky, expensive, outdated, and unnecessary. The kind of surprise attack that Pentagon officials had feared in 1960 no longer seemed likely. And as a nuclear deterrent, the 12 B-52s on airborne alert weren't as intimidating to the Soviets as the roughly 1,600 ballistic missiles in American silos and submarines. But the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the new commander of SAC, General John Dale Ryan, insisted that the airborne alert was crucial for the national defense. President Johnson decided to continue the alert for the time being, but reduced the number of daily flights to 4. The possibility of an accidental nuclear explosion taking place is essentially negligible, the director of nuclear safety at Kirtland Air Force Base told CBS News. The Atomic Energy Commission said much the same thing to the New York Times, claiming the odds were so remote that they can be ruled